Alright, time for a Google is Evil, Do Not God.com video presentation. Yeah, modern mystic. It's kind of an interesting subject, this whole inability to communicate. It really is a bigger problem I thought it would be. The old internet, there was no problem in really finding an argument, find somebody to argue with, all of that. You just fell into it, frankly. It's like you didn't have to do any work. And then it got to the point where, yeah, some people you couldn't get to. You always had to argue with, the wind, so to speak, in the sense that some people wouldn't respond to any argument you made. So you were only making an argument to their audience. But you did have some audience to make the counter argument to. Where now it's really difficult because, nobody shares anything like the same audience. And so it's really difficult to do it that way because their audience doesn't see your audience and your audience doesn't see their audience. And, there's just no... the exchanged videos won't be viewed by the same people, which is a problem. Yes, no point. So anyway... play the video and see where it goes. There'll be some monetary stuff in it, so I'll give you fair warning. I'm going to talk a little bit about money because that's part of the reason why he's making the video. So I'm going to reemphasize a point that isn't very complicated that I shouldn't even have to re-explain it because I've already explained it. And it's a good argument, and the argument's being ignored because people don't want to deal with the personality, the person making the argument, which is just stupid. But anyway, it's the way the world works.
Reaction? I suppose it's to Lee Blythe's reply to me, but it's hopefully going to be a bit more useful for everybody. I finished those last two books about what modern science thinks, how the brain works. And I can't see me going on too much more with it. Because basically, it's shocking, actually, of the last five books. They've all...
So it's just too bad that it's good that, he reads a lot of stuff. That's all kind of great. I don't know how much of it he actually retains, but who knows. I don't know how the brain works. Sure they know. I don't think so.
Had a left-wing bent in them that's been quite plain and obvious, which shouldn't be in a scientific book.
Right, and I'm sure it has a lot more than just a left-wing bent. I'm sure it has a lot of assumptive talk about what an interaction means. I say the word butterfly, and you respond with death to all Jews. I mean, some sort of thing. people can unravel that psychology into 4 million different things. It just doesn't... you can make up any story about why those two things might be connected.
That's all I'm saying. I'm saying nothing wrong with being left-wing, but it shouldn't show up in anything that's pertaining to be... or purporting to be, that's right.
Right, well, the science is the same way in regular science, regular physics. It's just very wooey. The beautiful universe, looking at the beautiful stars, all that kind of beauty talk shouldn't have anything to do with it. Shouldn't matter how pretty anything is. All that crap. It's so awe-inspiring. Well, it depends on what you're awed by. Some people might think glistening poo is, it.
A science book. It shouldn't be there, but there it is. And it rather annoys me, but there it is. Right, on the thing.
The bottom line is, so he says preaching is easy. This isn't about preaching or individuals or any of that kind of crap. There's a simple evolutionary fact that gangs win. So if you can get in a gang, you're going to win the fight, especially against another individual. So if you're fighting individuals, it's good to have a good-sized gang. Now, the gang gets too big, then it gets completely unwieldy and unmanageable, and it splinters on you anyway. So it naturally splinters. So that's what that's our evolution, is gangs. Gangs win. That's why we join gangs, is because gangs win, not because gangs are right about anything ever.
I did the book yesterday about the video about QE. Lee Blythe said, well, I rather think QE is part of the inflation story. And I say, why? And I get a block of text coming back saying what.
So he doesn't want the counter argument. Now, I'm not saying the other guy gave him any kind of rational counter argument. And I wouldn't argue that QE has directly caused the current inflation. I mean, the current inflation has obviously been created by the stupid circumstance, okay, of two facts. They have, in fact, printed more cash, okay? So Obama, Trump, and Biden are printing more cash than was printed before them. So, it's, you know, the line was here, and now it's this way, okay? This kind of line. Trump was worse, actually, but, you know. The line went from being here to being something like here. And I would argue that that line is the big important line. That line over history, over the longest periods of time, that line tells you what the inflation will be from decade to decade. That's the line that really tells you, because you can see it. You can go back and calculate it and see exactly that, oh, okay, they printed five times more currency in circulation since 1980 or whatever. And then you can go and look at the prices and say, yeah, everything's five times more expensive. The McDonald's hamburger, the car, the this, the that. It's all going to fit into that general range of being that much more expensive. So it works. And, you know, I've made the point that cash is just a commodity like anything else. And its purpose and its functionality is just based, it's just used as a wild card. It's just used as a simple way to make a piece of commodity value. You're just putting an X commodity in the market next to corn and wheat and gold and oil and all the other commodities, and the X commodity stays consistent with those other commodities as long as you don't make more of it. But if you make more of it, then it changes price. Just like the corn changes price when there's too much corn, the corn price goes down. So everything's just dependent on how available it is. Now, the oil, they deliberately hide it from us so they can raise the price. And then that price of that commodity goes up relative to the X and relative to corn and wheat and all the other stuff. So they stay together until you make more of it. And when you make more of something, then it breaks out of the commodity package, okay, and shoots up or shoots down, and, you know, that's the game. But that's it. So this isn't, you know, you could argue that this isn't a sustainable problem in the sense that, you know, you can just wait, stop printing cash, and the inflation will go away. You know, but they, you know, as long as you're printing a little too much, you're going to be in trouble. Now, the other problem of the quantitative easing had nothing to do with printing cash. That had to do with hiding a bunch of debt, you know, under the couch and, you know, under the floorboards, and you have all this debt hidden. So you have a bunch of debt hidden in the FDIC insurance. You have a bunch of debt hidden in the Federal Reserve accounts. And you can look at those charts, and they're right there in front of you. $8 trillion of debt hidden, okay, in the vault. I mean, it's hidden in your own vault. And that's not inflationary because you haven't let it out of the vault. So as long as it stays in the vault as debt and you're not pretending it's real money, it's not going to do anything. But that's like water in a reservoir. So that's like, you know, you can have a stream, you know, that causes your yard to get muddy and gets everything soggy. And then you can have the dam, you know, where the water's built up and you've built up a huge amount of water. And then the stupid little stream can, you know, rot the dam. And then you'll get the real consequence, the real inflation, the hyperinflation. So, yeah, well, there's no way to pay the debt. So they'll have to print money to function, the government to function. It'll have to print money to pay the Social Security and pay this and pay that. All these bills will have to be paid with printed money because there's no way can pay the debt. And so when the debt comes due, you know, there's a small crisis of some kind. They have to pay out the FDIC insurance. they'll have to print cash to do it because they don't have any other way to do it, and that'll be the hyperinflation. So, yeah, the QE will create inflation, but it's going to create it in a broken dam. It's not going to create it little bits at a time. All right, that's enough of the monetary stuff, I think.
Right. So, instead of arguing against that, I'm going to explain why it's useless to argue against that.
So this is, you know, I don't understand these points of his at all. The whole point of communicating is to argue, is to make a point, connect it to the dots, make the logical argument. He's doing it, and yet he's basically saying, I'm not going to pay attention to anybody else's arguments, or something like that. I just don't understand it. Don't understand it at all. He thinks he was born believing cash is meaningless. I don't think he was born that way.
Based on the last couple of books, it's like the key is on this strangeness of what they're calling.
See, so cash is not in the digital notes in a bank. Okay, cash is real stuff. It's a real amount. There's a certain amount of it in circulation, and that's why it has value. It doesn't matter how many promises there have been made on cash. Okay, just because the bank says you're owed this much cash doesn't mean they're going to be able to pay you that much cash. So if it says you have $500 worth of cash in the bank, it's not real cash, it's just bank digits, and you may or may not be able to collect them from the bank. But the fact is that it has to be collected in cash to be of any use.
Reasoning, which, as I said yesterday, is more akin to the fast thinking, not slow thinking. It's not good, basically. For them, reasoning is not good.
I mean, to have any use, if you were to go on to the commodity art market, if you're going to go directly to a market to buy something, you'd have to have the real commodity. You can't just show up with a bill of sale that says, I own one sheep, or I own 100 pounds of corn. In the real market, if we have to get to a real market, if somebody's going to test it and say, I don't really want your piece of paper, I want the corn. So in that circumstance, yes, you're not going to be able to get the actual corn. And if you can't get it, if somebody doesn't trust that you can get it, if somebody doesn't know that you can get it, they're not going to take your piece of paper. Nobody's going to accept your IOU from a bank that just went bankrupt.
And if you wanted a better word for it than using their word reasoning, it's more like rationalization, as in.
So yeah, we're all guilty of taking the best arguments for our side and keeping those, and, you know, not looking too hard at the arguments that suck, you know. So that's rationalization. Rationalization is twisting your eyes, you know, winking one of them and opening, you know, wobbling your eyes around to look at it in any some other way to try to make it look better than it is, and try to describe, you know, try to fake it up a little bit. Yeah, we're all guilty to some point of doing rationalizations, finding excuses, all of that crap. Really doesn't have a damn thing to do with a back and forth argument, counter argument, argument, counter argument, argument, counter argument. This idea of testing the veracity of a statement. So even though I agree with him, okay, so this is the irony, right? I would agree with him that the current inflation doesn't have much to do with QE, beyond the portion of QE that has changed the currency line. You know, changing the currency line matters. It's a decisive indicator to future inflation. It's a really, 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 really important one. It's very reliable over time.
Leibniz's block, last comment back to me. I'm not getting it, Leibniz, it's just an
excellent. I'd say the biggest piece of evidence he has on his side regarding what real inflation, that is inflation that's going to be a problem, is when wages chase prices. So if prices go up and then there's a counter response where wages end up going up, then you have growing inflation. And it can swing further than the statistics say it ought to. And then it creates damage in the economy that becomes real, that almost self-justifies the hyper swing. So you almost do damage to the economy because the reaction to the inflation is excessive, and ends up unemploying people.
An example of how things are is not a reply to me trying to convince me why QE is part of inflation.
So I'm sure it was a reply to you trying to convince you that there's reasons to believe it is. I'm sure that's what it was, and you're just sitting here saying, oh, I'm going to pretend it's something else. No, that's what it was.
A better example of that might be what we see on the YouTubes every now and then, which are called reaction videos, where somebody...
Right, so this is hilarious that, he's got to talk about those in the third person when he was sort of a participant in them for numerous years, and they were called The Conversation. And yeah, when the conversation gets a little heated, okay, then everything breaks down. And, there's a certain irony to this, just because, this all started with him calling me a yob, there was just a point where he got fed up because I guess I wasn't polite enough. And so I'm seeing a correlation to that in something I didn't know. So I was reading books on, Newton and these older people from 200 or 300 years ago, and I didn't know there's a secret to reading their personal letters. And because they were required by etiquette to lie to each other. So, and it was almost like their wigs. Their wigs were a statement. How long they were and all this kind of stuff was all about what they're saying about themselves and what they're saying about everybody else. Like, I'm better than you because I have a bigger wig than you. All right. So what they would do in their letters, so if they hated somebody, they would title the letter something like, oh, your most grand, perfect, wonderful human being, I love you to death, you're just so special, the most miraculous sir. They would put in all this bullshit, absolutely insane I love you talk in the introduction to the letter and in the closing. And that somehow, for these fakers, was somehow made sense. Like somehow, as long as you had to play this, this was called being civil. When everybody knew what the game was, and everybody knew the more you said, I love you, the more you hated the fucker. So it was all a big fake pretense. And this guy is still connected to that. He's originally English, and maybe that's what he thinks that makes it all okay. So if I say your Royal Highness, it's somehow, I'm giving you the proper respect, even though there's absolutely no respect in doing it, because it's all satire. It's all bullshit. So when they're writing to somebody who they care about, they just say, my dearest. somebody they really love and admire, it's just my dearest. But if they hate their guts, it's my dearest, most fantastic. How do we not spend every moment of our day cherishing your presence? All that kind of crap goes in before their name. So it's the same bullshit.
Plays somebody's video and reacts live to it, as it were. Those reactions aren't trying to convince the people watching, listening.
So it's just such a pile of crap, because you sit here and you're saying, I can see it, I'm looking right at it. It's like making the consciousness argument. I'm sitting here as a feeling organism, and I'm having decisively value experiences. I can either be feeling crappy or I can be feeling very good, and the value of these experiences is undeniable. There's no confusion that, my twisted ankle or my bad back or some kind of crap like that is a lot worse than, feeling kind of charged and energetic and ready to go. These are completely different sensations. They're qualitative in their very essence. You cannot miss that one is good and one is bad. And you're trying to say to somebody else, how the fuck don't you get that? That the value of our existence here is just about these fucking feelings. And if you can't make somebody feel like shit, by doing something, if I do something and it's not going to make somebody feel like shit, then do it. And if it is going to make somebody feel like shit, then don't do it. It's almost that simple. You're just adding up how many shitty feelings will the activity cause versus how many good feelings will the activity cause. Period. There's nothing else to consider. And I'm sitting there looking at that obvious fucking goddamn fact, and saying, how the fuck do these morons not get it? I mean, how many verses of the Bible do you have to go through to say, how the fuck do you people believe this horseshit? These silly, inane statements.
How that they are right. They are rationalization videos.
This is almost so insulting to this guy's intelligence, because this is like baby talk that clearly can be, okay, a video. Somebody can make a video, a petty video out of hate, blah, 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 and it can have no substance and just be crap. Could just be witticisms, could just be slang, could just be sayings, could be, you know, that could be Twitter, all right? But to say that's what's going on, all these videos are, I mean, it's just too fucking stupid.
Trying to show, if anything, how clever they are.
So again, and most of them don't show that. So if you look at the most of them, they're not being terribly articulate and they're struggling with words. And, you know, it's a little bit difficult because you have to put it all together, you know, on the occasion of the argument, and you're trying to remember your best arguments, and you're not remembering your best arguments sometimes, and you're saying, ah, yeah, yeah, and, you know, and that a lot of them have that in it. The clear reason it exists is because one person is sitting there saying, I can see it, it's right here, look at it, see it? And they're trying to describe what they see to the other person, saying, how can you not see it?
And the strange thing, probably even fascination for watching those type of reaction videos, is that the people doing it do look extremely clever because it looks so...
Okay, so again, I would say that that's 50-50, right? Sometimes they're basically pwned by their own reaction video. Self-pwnage, it's called. So it works both ways. But again, I haven't had any experience where I watch interaction between people, somebody arguing with somebody else's video, and even if they're making bad arguments, and even if it's bad for my side, I still see value in every single one of them, because at least it's an argument and a counter-argument. At least there's some information that might be gleaned out of it relevant to the goddamn subject, where the silence doesn't do anybody any good. The non-interaction doesn't say anything about the bullshit that's out there. People are saying a bunch of shit, talking a bunch of shit, and it's just that. It's shit. It's nonsense. And somebody should be countering the nonsense.
Fluent. They must really know their stuff, because the things that they say just absolutely flows out. And yes, I'll go on, because I think this does help us.
I wish you would have given examples. So I wish you could have shown us these examples of these wonderful flowing videos, because I can't find too many of those, frankly. But whatever. Except my own, of course. You might be talking about me. Yeah, I'm great.
There are reasons for this. The main reason, well, I don't know if there are going to be more than this one, is that for quick thinking, you just come up with something.
All right, so you don't do anything called quick thinking on the spot. All thinking was long thinking, and the formulas, the basic concepts, are called quick thinking. So the conclusions, you could call them quick thinking. You could call the idea that as soon as somebody says the word value, I'm going to quick think the relevance of feelings. That they're the core of the value. So the quick think, boom, feelings. That's going to be thrown right in. That whatever you're talking about, feelings are going to get involved somehow. So it's an important word. So, yeah, my quick thinking is really what it took a long time of thinking, a lot of thinking, to realize. So you can't demean quick thinking as just being, I didn't think about it. It's you're saying you don't like the conclusions people have drawn. And I would agree with you that some of their conclusions weren't long thinking, but it was done badly. So they could long think on religion and say, well, overall, it makes people kind and decent because they're afraid to go to hell. Well, nobody's afraid. Okay, nobody's convinced. The believers aren't convinced they're really going to hell, or they wouldn't be all the time sinning. They wouldn't have to keep going to church and confessing if they actually believe this stupid story. So that's really not going to work. Because if the believers don't believe they're going to hell, why do you think the fucking guilty think they're going to hell? I mean, there's not much chance of it.
That's what these reaction videos are. And for rationalization of explaining your own position, these fluent things like Lee Blythe wouldn't have had any trouble to write the massive clump of paragraph.
Well, he really hates a long comment, which is funny to me. Just because, yeah, all these subjects are more than the Twitterism. It's more than just waving your hand and going, go away, silly comment, silly, silly, silly. There is some substance in this argument somewhere.
It just flowed out, because it's not trying to explain it to me, it's just explaining it to himself. And the reaction videos are the same.
I think the reaction, I think the comment is an effort to explain why he believes, which is should be work on all people. That's what everybody should understand is, well, yeah, if it convinced me, it should convince somebody else. That's only logical. The evidence shouldn't need to be personal. And it shouldn't, like, oh, well, you know, people who wear glasses can only hear this kind of, you know, this argument works. No, the same argument should work. It should have generic effectiveness.
In slow thinking, you put forward, you know, you I'm trying to think of different examples and what fits in for them. But basically, you put forward a mental idea, and then you try and pull it down yourself. Steel manning, I think they're calling it.
Okay, steel man. So yeah, so this is a strategy. So that's like saying how to read a book. You know, there's strategies where you skip every 15th word or something, and yeah, you get the substance of it. You know, so good enough. You know, you're going to get the key words. That's all you really need. Only read the words that are more than 5 letters long, and you'll understand what the book said, because the partial sentences are just as good as the complete sentence. You know, there's lots of strategies, but you're just talking a strategy of how to do good logic. The logic itself, how rigorously you have to test whatever idea might pop into your head, is just a byproduct of how well-oiled your machinery, your logic machinery is. So if it doesn't do a lot of, I believe in silly crap for no good reason, if it evades all that and it doesn't have much noise in it, and it has a lot of facts already collected about how electricity works, now this works, now that works, then you don't have to test the hell out of the logic, because it's already, the axioms have already been tested. So this is just, again, this is his way of talking about careful thinking versus sloppy thinking. And that's what he really should just be saying, is there's some people who think because they do have knowledge, and some people who talk out of their ass. So those are two different things, right? Careful, sloppy, hyperbole from morons versus careful from scientists. And as I just stated, I mean, to me, scientists are, the roles have been reversed, and scientists talk all kinds of wacky shit for absolutely no evidence. I mean, just nothing, a vapor. And they're convinced Sasquatch exists, and they go put their Sasquatch hunting hat on, and they go after their little Sasquatch. Use neutrino as the word for Sasquatch, okay? Neutrino hunters. They're as silly as Sasquatch hunters.
Not straw manning. And you really put the effort in to try and work out why you're wrong. Rationalization, reasoning, is will always throw up straw men, because there's no effort being put in to prove oneself wrong. It is only an effort to prove oneself right.
So straw man is only necessary when somehow they won't make the argument for themselves. So again, this is just, straw man is more like, okay, because you won't show up for the war, I'll make a version of you that's cheap and flimsy, and then I can knock him down easy in front of everybody. Okay, because shit, it's easy. I mean, you know, I get to make up what his weapons are. You know, he's wearing a tutu, and, you know, he's got a lollipop. You know, so yeah, it's going to be really easy to defeat him. because he wouldn't show up, and that's what you've done, you know, and then you complain about it, and then you say somehow somebody straw-manned you. Well, how'd they get away with straw-manning you if you were permitting an interaction? It's only because you won't permit the interaction that the existence of the straw man could even exist in the first place. The straw man wouldn't be an issue if you would show up for the war. But you won't do it, so me, you know, as the warrior, I have a right to put a cheap version of you on the line. But again, the accusation that that's all that people are doing, again, I would say is false. I say I give scientists every benefit of the doubt that their theory might be right. And all I'm asking for is this thing called evidence. Well, show me. Can you show me something? Not nothing, something. You don't even have to show me a lot, and I'll let you get away with it. But showing me nothing means nothing. And telling me cash doesn't mean anything when it clearly exists, and when I can show how the chart charts inflation quite accurately, you know, sorry, you're going to lose that argument because the evidence is against you.
And will only push to the standards of oneself. And that's why the reaction videos are so fluent, because they will only push to the self standards.
All right, so let's just understand that the reaction videos require the reactor, in some cases anyway, right? Some people cheat. They don't play the guy's video. Now, I play the guy's video. That's just a fact. So some people will just quote mine, which is another one of these little argument techniques. They'll grab the easy spot, okay, and play that, and then defeat the person when they didn't say something quite right, or they said it badly, or they were thinking about one thing and they were talking about another thing, and so they were saying things about triangles. It's only true for squares because they were a little confused at the moment, blah, blah, blah. And they'll take advantage of that to say, aha, he's an idiot. So, you know, quote mining can be done to anybody. It can be done to Einstein. It can be done to Newton. It can be done to the president. It can be done to anybody. Anybody can quote mine the fuck out of somebody and make them look ridiculous. He's saying, well, no, let's talk about a particular kind of interaction, which is responding to somebody else's video by playing it. Okay, now that's not straw manning, and that's not quote mining. And you have every ability to make yourself look like a real man, okay? I'm not forcing the straw into your mouth. I'm not sticking it in your ears. You've done that yourself, okay? And then you're blaming me because you made a bad argument, or an argument easy to defeat, I would say. Somehow it's my fault. I cheated you. No, I didn't. And, you know, like, again, what this is really about is in the past, I refused to call him Lord Mystic, you know, and I said the word fuck.
And you can see it with all of them, that we can sit there very impressed by the fluency that it all comes out, but we know that we can't really analyze what's being said because it doesn't stand up to any sort of slope.
So this is another technique where you just make up some crap. You know it. You know his argument really sucked, right? So, oh yeah, I really killed it, didn't I? Oh yeah, it was so easy. But his argument really sucked. So we just talk it down. We won't prove it down. You won't really counter argue anything the other person said. You'll just talk to the other guy like, oh, you saw how that argument really sucked, right? Wink, wink, nod, nod, nudge, nudge. You know how bad it was, right? Nod, nod, nudge, nudge. I mean, come on, it's just, that's such a lowbrow technique of, yo, come on, buddies, you're with me, aren't you? Yeah, that's pathetic, sorry.
Thinking at all. It's garbage thinking, basically. It's garbage thinking. It's quick thinking. It's self-rationalization thinking. It's straw man.
Yeah, so look, that's not my argument with you, right? Yours isn't any of those things, I'll concede. You're wrong for really, really dumb reasons, because somehow you did think about it, and you did read all the books, and you did through all that bullshit, and you've seen all of their rationalizations, and every author has a motivation, and all that. You've seen all the corruption in that standard gibberish that's puked out by the authorities, you know, the people who are supposed to know what the fuck they're talking about, and yet you still fell for it.
It's just ego boosting. That's all it is. Yep, okay.
Well, bullshit. You know, I can go, you know, if I want to do ego boosting, you know, I'm not going to do it with my clothes on, you know, and I'm going to, you know, I could do it so many other ways if I want to have a good day ego-wise. This isn't what I would do with my time if I was after ego fucking points. I just happen to think that this is critically important, that if human beings are going to have a brain, that they can do basic logic, or we're fucked. We're so fucked. I mean, this is a critical lifeboat situation. There's real value at stake. And it just can't be that people are going to be... I can't even say something like SpongeBob, because SpongeBob is more rational than these human beings. I mean, the caricatures and the cartoons they create are more rational than people are. Daffy Duck was doing a better collection of words and concepts than the average person does. And, you know, and then when the intellectuals are so cowardly and they all just run away, what the fuck do you call that?
So where should we go with that? So, to be useful, these books are trying...
I mean, who has the ego problem? You know, the person that challenges you, you know, I mean, you're saying you're running away for good reason. There's no good reasons, and that's quite obvious. That's an argument that we could have. We could say, what's the good reason? You have a sensitive soul. That's a rationalization. You just don't like losing. Arguments. Period.
And to explain how you could convince somebody when they've got a contrary position to you, how that they're wrong, basically. And you can't do it.
So, of course, you can. People are persuaded by videos. They do influence people. Yes, it's the water's dripping over the ledge. It's not, you know, a flood. It doesn't happen all at once. All of those things. You're planting seeds sometimes of a gigantic root system that'll crumble their entire existence eventually. I mean, that's the idea, the little words. I mean, look, I mean, Martin Luther King's little words. I mean, little words. Judge a man based on the content of his character, not the color of his skin. I heard it a few hundred times, right? It sat there in my head, and I said, God damn. Do unto others as you have others do unto you. Oh, fuck. Yeah, you think about it a few times, and you say, gee, that's pretty fucking simple. Yeah, I think, well, that's a keeper.
If you can... are to do it, the only way to do it is to get them to realize that they're wrong. You can't convince them with facts or arguments. It just never works. You have to do...
So again, this is more him saying so. Let's just convince everybody there's no way around it. Black people just don't know what white people is saying. Some sort of horseshit, you know. He's just trying to say that it's not possible, that it can't be done, when shit, this it has to be done, and the only way to do it is to do it. Yeah, you know, so fuck this naysaying crap, because we don't have any alternatives.
Clever mental manipulation. It's like psychiatrists can actually do a job on somebody that's, say, got an addiction.
And they can do exactly the opposite job, too. They can really fuck somebody up, okay? So, but these are usually people who aren't capable of putting their own Band-Aids on. These aren't Einsteins, you know, these psychos.
They can work, they can do it, and especially now using the most modern techniques that were in these books. But it takes hours of one-on-one dedicated work using the most modern techniques to actually convince somebody to convince themselves.
All right, so no, most of the stuff they're doing is reconditioning people's emotional responses, so it is not about convincing them of anything. It's merely about reconditioning them so they can tolerate a bad smell, or you know, they're basically trying to change their taste so they don't find sweet things as enjoyable as sour things, that kind of crap. So it's more working on actual visceral conditioning, like trying to make you not like chocolate, or they're trying to do the same thing to you with some emotional reaction. You know, just trying to recondition you so that reaction doesn't please you anymore.
They may be wrong, but like normal internet interactions or even down the pub interactions that we would have with people. We do not have the tools to do this. We don't have the time to do this. You basically can't change.
And it has nothing to do with it, really. Come on, you can't change people by making a good argument. I mean, that's just such bullshit. I mean, you're saying that if I could show you some, if you could have the patience to listen to a few facts regarding what conventional physics says, let's say, on the subject of the two slit experiment, I could show you some things they say. And I could show how they're completely not consistent with the actual physical universe. It never happened. The experiment they describe or the circumstance, you know, two waves making the interference pattern, how I can explain to you why it has to be four waves and that you can't draw four waves in the picture in any kind of rational places. I could show you how their story is fundamentally wrong. I mean, it's inaccurate and it's illogical. And yet it's the foundation of a whole branch of their physics is based on the assumptions made in this false, idiotic, you know, misdescription of the reality. This fake description, like the dog's butt doesn't smell. And so they have a whole theory based on this that's just crap because, it, no, it does actually smell. Clearly that should be, to say that can't happen. For you to say that I couldn't be convinced by evidence, or me to say you can't can be convinced by evidence, is, I think, just insulting. That's much more insulting than saying, oh, fuck you.
We can never change another person's mind. So we have, like, the two groups that we should recognize when we're talking to people. Going back on one of yesterday's video where I talked about...
All right, so now he's going to get into the whole group psychology crap. And that's all it's about. It's about how groups have more numbers and they can, you know, three little people can beat up one big person, you know. Three little people weighing 50 pounds can beat up one person weighing 100 pounds, that kind of thing, you know. Yeah, so gangs win. Doesn't mean they deserve to win. Doesn't mean they have any merit. Ugh. So, I mean, that's another part of what you're arguing here that's just so illogical. But that's why evolutionarily we gravitate towards being sheeple, is because groupthink works. No, it obviously doesn't work. I mean, there's so many flaws in our civilization because of groupthink. It is this gigantic monster in the room, not the frickin', it's not the angel, it's the devil. Anyway, I'll be back. All right, leave us continue.
I made it into the QE. That's right, I made it into QE with, what's his face? Forgotten his name anyway, that is famous for saying QE is going to cause hyperinflation. And everybody, not everybody, but people ran with it. And I was the person that said, well, I don't really...
Right, so I can't remember the guy's name either. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. So there's a famous talking head. He says, it's QE that's causing inflation. You know, because he's talking from a Republican perspective anyway, or some other shit, and he doesn't like people being given money and all that kind of crap. But again, it's like the deficit spending hawks of the 1970s. You just go back to the 1970s, a whole bunch of people are saying, deficit spending is the ruin. It's our ruin. It's our ruin. And they're not inaccurate. Okay, the preposterous debt is a problem because it is a claim on cash and somebody owns it and somebody's going to want the cash someday. Someday they're going to need the cash. And what are you going to pay them with? Does the debt mean anything? So it's a real problem. It's a claim on something you can't possibly produce. You can't hand him the $10 bill over and over and over again, then he goes and spends it, and you get the $10, you buy the $10 again to give it to him again. You can't keep buying the $10 bill back to keep paying him the $10 bill. You owe him a billion $10 bills, and you can't keep, you don't have no way to buy it. You have no way to collect it in taxes. You can't collect the $10 bill to give it to this guy over and over and over and over and over again. You owe him 100 years worth of labor. You don't have that. You need 100 years to collect it, to pay him what you owe him, right? And so clearly that was the right argument. It was a rational argument to say, yes, deficit spending is fucked up. Don't do it. It's dangerous. It's going to mean you're in the same position you were in the 1920s, where yes, everybody has a whole bunch of debt, and you have a little bit of a tweak in the market, and there's no way for any of the economy to work anymore because all the debt collapses. Everybody goes bankrupt.
You know, at the moment, and I've got to go and check. It's a complicated thing. Like all things in modern life are complicated, and that's what we all should say and do, is it's complicated, we'll go.
So again, it's not that complicated. So some subjects are complicated. I would argue that the basic values of being a good human aren't complicated at all. Don't cause unnecessary harm to feeling things. There you go, done. I'm pretty much got 98% of my ethical code all figured out. You know, the tricky part is figuring out what unnecessary means. But yes, except for that word unnecessary, wow, we have a pretty complete statement.
A way and think about it. But in, let's have the two types of argument, because they are arguments. The first one's, let's call it, I've got the FT up again, so let's call it an IPO, which is an initial public offering, which is the one where I started in the ape men type thing, where blueberries against greenberries. It has been evolutionary.
So I don't know what the connection was there. So I'm not at all sure what the hell comment. You didn't make that video about some initial public offering having something to do with gang psychology.
Advantageous for us to come up with these quick self-rationalizing but quick decisions of, well, I like the red berries and I like the green berries, or I like the blueberries. And there's absolutely no doubt, nobody will disagree with this, it's just scientific fact, that a group argument at that stage will come up with a more reliable answer than any of the individual ones.
So he's just saying that somehow the group, the diluted, the compromise, the, you know, all the negatives of groupthink is somehow creating good decisions. So I could just go back to all the decisions made in human history, and the ones that are made by a group, like the Indian nations made decisions. They were really bad decisions, frankly, okay? They lost the war bad, big time. So they weren't very good decisions. You know, they threw brave after brave after brave at the brick wall and watched them go splat. The Zulus, right? They made movies about that one. There's a really great movie called Zulu, right? I mean, just insane carnage when you think about what 100 men with guns did, could do to them, let alone thousands of men with guns. Did they make good decisions? No.
Or over time, it's much best to have that argument, and this is why they think...
Yeah, it's good to have an argument, but frankly, that's not how groupthink works either, right? It's just, again, somebody selling out. That's all. It becomes some sort of broken, shitty compromise, okay? I mean, two people have to, they say, look, if we gang up and A gangs up with B, we can kill C. So they only gang up, they're really bad partners. So it's like we were partners with the Russians in defeating the Nazis. It was a really dirty and bad partnership, and look at the shenanigans that happened afterwards because of that. So, I mean, it doesn't work.
We came up with talking speech is because we had individual ideas that then became discussions and arguments.
Yeah, no, it's best if you have the you know, ideally benevolent dictator is the way to go. But yes, if you have to resort to not being able to elect somebody the smartest and say, okay, let's just let him decide everything. And hopefully he's smart enough to say, I don't really know the best chocolate chip cookie recipe, so don't let me control that, okay? I'll control these other things. You can do the chocolate chip cookie thing, all right? So as long as he knows not to be an arrogant idiot, you know, he's smart enough to know that much, that he shouldn't assume himself godlike, and that, you know, he's been elected because he's supposed to be the best driver, and he should be really focused on being a very good driver. That's his job, okay? But yeah, no, we didn't do it that way, right? They didn't elect kings, okay? They gave birth to them, and they were psychopaths. So that wasn't very smart. But this idea again of just diluting the intelligence by forcing the intelligence to make a whole bunch of concessions to the morons, you know, oh, we got to glue angel wings on it, and we have to do this, and we have, you know, the plane isn't going to fly because all of the morons are forcing you to dangle crap off of it.
And the argument between people came up with the better, the real, let's say fact, the best thing to do from the group discussion. And that was...
All right, so a more important fact here, I guess, would to say, if you're going to use evolutionary facts, the fact is the small little tribes are the ones that really won the day. So they would, you know, they would branch off, do some inbreeding, you know, end up creating some better shit. Okay, then they would let that better shit grow into a big enough tribe to kill the first tribe, the tribe they came from. It's like the Europeans coming back to kill their brothers, the Indians, right? So, yeah.
Highly evolutionarily advantageous because, especially in times where the earth, the atmosphere, whatever it was, your place that you lived was changing quickly. Doing the same thing over and over wasn't good enough.
Yeah, well, there's no reason why kings are any more susceptible than the tribe to doing the same thing over and over again. So that's not a very good argument. You could argue that Rome created some mechanisms that were very productive and very useful, and that those got ruined by when they started becoming a little too democratic. It all went to fucking hell. So democracy kind of destroyed Rome. Because all the Caesars had an obligation to live up to Caesar's name, kind of thing. And so they, there might have been, I don't know what the, you know, you could say that the best balance is to have the Caesar and then have the challenging democracy that it can only overrule him by a 7/8 majority or whatever, you know, the 2/3 majority, the Senate kind of majority is the only thing that could ever overrule him or stop him. Something, some balance of power like that.
These discussions with the group answer coming up and winning out was much, much the best. And
all right, so there's just no evidence. There's no way you're going to convince me that the group makes all these perfect decisions because, frankly, the whole human history is covered in blood, war, inefficiencies, sloppy, stupid systems voted on, sloppy policies, moronic policies, totally incapable of balancing the budget policies. That's what the fucking moron majority votes for. It's stupid.
Still is at the IPO stage the best way of...
I mean, look at the presidential races, for fuck's sake. This is what the majority does. The majority forces you to run a moron against an idiot.
Coming up with an answer. The problem being, obviously, I might as well finish this off, that nowadays the person that says, I don't know, because you don't know, will not be listened to, and the person that says, I do know, comes up with a simple answer, and is, for some reason, charismatic or seems like a leader, people will herd towards that. And that's what we're getting.
Yeah, right. Whatever. No, they herd through because people say what they want to hear. That's it. There's no other argument here. That's where people herd. Okay, it's because there's somebody saying what they want to be able to say and defend. So they want somebody to defend their shit so their shit wins. That's it. It's not more complicated than that, in my opinion. And, so they choose people who look like they're winning the war as their leaders. But it doesn't mean anything. The arguments suck.
Now there. So if you're having an argument, know whether it's an IPO or whether you're then arguing with a herd member. They've already made their decision up on something and they're a member of the herd of something, and then they're just not going to change their mind. Yeah. So it's useful here in the IP.
Yeah, well, traditions are bad habits are a bad thing, okay? They're just getting your way habits. So yeah, it'd be great if we weren't habitual. But yeah, we are a little habitual and we all have to get over it. You can't do that, okay? Clearly. You're expecting me to, introduce my letters with, four paragraphs of praises. All praise mystics, unbiased brain purity. Bullshit. Yeah, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to write it because I don't believe it.
You know, to get the right decision, it has been evolutionarily. And you kind of stick with it until some really strong reasoning comes up to say that you shouldn't then.
Facts, 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 facts. So that's all this conversation should be about what we can deduce and see and, you know, argue as being, you know, decently secure truth statements. And that's all there is to the logic. The logic goes where the facts go. So the point is that people make up fake news, fake facts. And the fake facts end up being evidence. And that's the part to avoid, is the fake evidence.
Stick with what the herd decision is. You can see it's all evolutionarily sensible. But now what we've got is, you know, politicians, let's say, that come up with a very quick answer that will take the herd with them. And then as soon as the herd's got that quick answer, they're not going to change their mind.
So again, if you're going to argue like something about money and the concept of inflation, the simple facts to break it down would be that there's two real causes of inflation, commodity price increase, you know, crop failures, running out of oil, some kind of real thing. The other side of it is wages. You know, how much are you paying people to produce something? So there's two parts that cost money in making a product usually. Is, you know, the product is sometimes the tiny bit, and the real expense is fuel and labor. And yes, if any of those two things go up in price, then prices go up. And if those things go down, then prices stay down. Okay, so the whole reason why there hasn't been inflation is because we're now in a world economy where wages don't go up. And that's it. That's the only reason why there hasn't been inflation, is because there's no wage pressure and fuel prices have been maintained as sort of stable. That's it. So when fuel prices went up, we have the glitch. But that's it. Fuel prices go back down, right? And we know we're getting gouged now, right? Because oil prices at the time I'm making this video, they're back under $80 a barrel. Yet the price of refined crude is $5. No justification for that. It should be $3. $80 a barrel should equal $3 a gallon for the refined product. And instead it's $5. So that's why there's inflation. Gouging. Greed.
So know what argument you're getting yourself into. Yeah, I think that does it. Bye.
So, whatever. Nah. Nah. Fuck you. That'll be my closer. Fuck you. Morons. There, that's my greeting. Greetings. Anyway, okay, so enough of a video. But yeah, it is awful it's just terrible that nobody, you know, there's no response videos, there's no anything anymore. There's just no capacity to argue subjects in any kind of rational way. You have to argue with trolls who invade your privacy, and, you know, you'll have a discussion with them, but it'd be about stuff that has nothing to do with the subject, because they're just after character assassination. And the rest of, you know, there's just nothing. No willing warriors for a cause or for a idea or for a fact or for anything. No one will fight for anything. It's just pathetic. Horrible. Sucks. But I'll endeavor to persevere. That's what I do best. Well, I do it second best, right? That's the joke. Yeah, I do it second best. Anyway, so enough of a video. And till the next time and such, and so forth and whatnot. Yeah. I do the closing thing now, right? I have to hit one of these one of these things, like this one maybe. All right, so this has been a DoNotGod.com video presentation. And always remember, Google is a scummy marketing company. It should not be controlling the valuable internet. The internet has value. Commercials suck. You shouldn't mix the two things. Really bad idea. All right, so till the next time, such.